Perfect.
Beautiful.
Jackson, you brought him aboard. I may be a big fan of this man, but you brought him in. Oh, I thought you were going
to take it with how much energy you were bringing, but okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 286 of the official podcast. Today, we have an extraordinary guest joining us. He's the defeater of scammers. He's the man with a million voices. He is Kit Boger. Thank you for joining us, man.
I'm glad to be here.
Please, why don't you start this episode off by informing everyone in our audience what it is you do on YouTube and just all the good deeds that it entail.
Yeah, I mean, I think one way to describe it is I play predominantly old characters. Like I change my voice to be an old man, and I try to make like robocallers or scammers just hate me, I think is pretty much what I do.
The best thing about it, from everything I've seen, is you do a wonderful job at wasting scammers' time. That's like the best thing about it, because every minute they spend talking to, you know, elderly version of you, is a like their minutes they're not spent scamming actually elderly people in the world. That's what I love about your content, and it's obviously entertaining and funny.
Thanks. Yeah, I think that's kind of how I started out was my grandmother had dementia, and she had gotten scammed, and not by like one of the scammers that I call, a completely different scam, but I was just thinking.
You hunted them down.
This was the start of personal for you.
Right. Yeah, I found them and I've haven't let them alone. No. But I figured, well, if I'm on the phone with them, then I guess like someone's grandma isn't on the phone. But it's obviously grown quite a bit from the origin story.
Yeah, you've definitely grown from the origin. You've got like automated tools now and all these different like face cam features. And your show's gotten really elaborate. It's very impressive.
It's also just really well constructed too, in how efficient it is at never tipping them off that you're like playing with them. Like these will go for 9-10 hours sometimes with a single caller. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, I would tell them, partially because there's this moment where, you know, like taking off your mask, and like it was me, I was messing with you, and they'd get mad. But I realized later if I didn't do that. Sometimes it would go for days or months. I have these guys right now. I've spent 38 hours with them on the phone across like 2 months, and they've given me something like 36 of their bank accounts here in the US because they just think that I'm going to give them money. Like, so every week they just call me up and they're like, hey, how's it going? Should I give you a bank account today? Are you ready to wire me money?
Wow. So, I think the absolute highlight for me in the technology you've made is the fake Google Redemption webpage. You can probably explain it better than me, but the scammers always want Google Play cards because that's just how they're going to get their money.
It's their currency.
It's the national currency of India. That's right. And you've made a page where you can pretend to redeem the card of like $500 or some amount. And some of them just, when they see that you've put the money on your account instead of giving it to them, they do not like that.
So good.
They lose their mind. Yeah. I mean, you pretty much described it. My background is like software engineering and code stuff. And so I hacked together this like Chrome extension basically that makes the Google Play Store when I click redeem or whatever, it pops up a fake redemption box, and anything that's any 16 digit alphanumeric you know code will say that $500 got added, and the scammers don't know any better, although technically I could just type, you know, the number 1 16 times. I just never do that. So
what I'm hearing right here is you've become the scammer. You scam poor Google. They give you internet money.
You're scamming these guys out of horrible. Their time, Kit. What the hell? Come on.
That too, I have become what I just swore to destroy.
Why? So is the reason that they... I imagine the reason they only accept Google Play in these scam businesses is because it's like untraceable. Is that the only reason?
Well, they do accept all kinds of other cards, like they'll ask me for Sephora.
I just meant cards in general, sorry, not just
Google Play.
It's
untraceable, and I think it's easy to sell like aftermarket stuff. So the general idea is if they get a $500 Google Play card, maybe they can sell it for $400 and they'll get whatever, $100 of that or something. I don't like it's percentage based.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on the time of year and the demand, there's probably like a gift card stock market. I don't know. Underground dark web stuff, but they'll ask me for different cards. It just kind of depends.
I'll watch a good bit of scam baiting. Like, I'm also a fan of Jim Browning.
Jim Browning, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
I think one guy is just called Scam Baiter as well, who's coming up. Mm-hmm. And didn't they describe that they actually don't make a lot of money from this? If you have, like, a $500 card, let's say, they'll maybe only earn, like, $30 or something. Ooh. Very, very small from it.
Yeah, the guy who actually took the card. Yeah.
Yeah. That's only on the individual level. These companies make like billions.
Oh, no, they scam so much. I'm talking about the actual scammer, but it's like the manager takes like 90% or something ridiculous. Yeah.
The workers are commission paid.
No, the workers are commission based, at least in a few of them. Yeah. Might not be all of them, but most are commission based.
I think that's what most people would find surprising about these scammers is, like, I always had the mental image of people that scam these people, like, they're just like individuals on an individual level, but they're actually like full organizations in these countries that have like business leaders, business management people, accountants and stuff working in there. It is insane.
And their CEOs are flaunting around on Facebook holding like hundreds in their hands and driving sports cars and shit. They're totally just fine with it.
Some of them do have a legitimate operation attached to it, though, for the sake of appearances. So a lot of it is them believing that that side is stronger than their scam side, so they can like take more pride in their money. So like there's that CEO that was on the new Jim Browning episode who like spreads his like spread eagle on Facebook with money and shit. And it's because he knows he can get away with it. And also, from what I understand, a lot of the officials are also in on the scam. So it's kind of like hush-hush okay with some of the corrupt powers that be over there.
Yeah. There are some groups that are, you know, just two or three guys running it out of their apartment type of a thing. But there's also really big business.
Can you always tell when it's those two to three, like, you know, the small business owners in this situation? Can you tell when it's them as opposed to these multinational conglomerates that you're facing?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just as simple as the big call centers usually don't waste as much time on me because they're not as desperate and they have like quotas almost. Mm-hmm. That's the way I imagine it. True. Like the boss is like, you haven't scammed enough this week, so stop talking to that old lady kind of a thing. Whereas the smaller groups, they'll what do they call it? Sunk cost fallacy. They'll kind
spend
the next month talking to only me because I'm their only lead. So,
are those the people that you'll call them and they'll just be like asleep or in the middle of lunch or something? And they'll just take it at any time.
Sometimes, yeah. There's been some
control
weird
their lives now.
There's definitely been some weird moments. Like I've had them like answer while they're in the bathroom and stuff.
Oh no,
just weird. Yeah,
God. I think when they really believe you're going to
give them
way
money. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I think the sunken cost fallacy is a really good way of putting it because from their perspective, they've already spent 20 hours chasing this Google Play gift card from you. What's another 20 hours at that point? And then it just snowballs and snowballs and they're stuck in like an infinite loop. It's great.
And they're probably thinking
like, sorry, go ahead.
They're probably thinking, cause sometimes, so I have like fake bank accounts and they'll see $300,000 in there. So they're thinking, well, if I spend another couple hours and I can get that $300,000, if I spend another couple weeks, right? That's a lot of money. And they just keep telling themselves, well, there's a $300,000 prize at the end. Of course, it's fake and they never get anything. But
Yeah. Sad mm-hmm. for them.
You just reminded me of something. Does anyone remember, like, must have been 6 or 7 years ago now, there used to be a website, and it got popular on Reddit, where you'd type in a phone number, and it would robocall that number forever. Literally forever. To take up the entirety of that line. Whatever happened to that? I imagine that'd be, like, a great tool against these scammers.
Just... I don't know that one.
You guys don't know what I'm talking about?
Was it, I'm going to Google it.
I think currently there's a spinoff of that works kind of like something Kit does, where if you give them a phone number and they call it, it'll have an AI like infinitely just kind of answer it and pretend it can't hear it and be like,
that's what I'm talking about. They had one a while back from Reddit, and it would endlessly forever dial whatever number you gave it to dial, and it would never ever stop.
That's a terrifying tool.
Call flooding. I've heard of call flooding stuff.
Yeah, it was flooding AI.
Can't you just block the number?
Yeah,
eventually.
There's definitely ways around it.
Plus, don't they usually call from private numbers? Do you actually get the numbers of the scammers?
Not usually.
I thought they would have made that harder.
Yeah, not usually. It's so easy to spoof or get numbers. I have dozens of VoIP numbers. And then you can spoof whatever number you want. So it's pretty hard to get actual phone numbers. Occasionally, they'll give me their WhatsApp numbers.
Oh.
They're
getting intimate.
Yeah. Usually when they think that... because I play a character sometimes who's like a... Let me see if this actually works.
Like, I talk like this and I flirt with them.
And they believe I'm... Did that go through? I don't know if that went through. But they think I'm your daughter.
That was cool.
Yeah.
And so they'll like flustered over here.
Oh boy.
They'll want pics, you know. And
can you bring her back, Kit?
I want pics.
Sorry.
That was pretty good.
Does she have a sister?
Yeah.
You'd rather talk to her. I was trying to think. Yeah, I've seen some call flooding stuff. I myself have been working on a little bit of an AI to call them, which has been fun. I've only really shown that on Twitch, though, not much on YouTube. But
I think
it'll become a thing.
That leads to a question I really wanted to ask you. You do a lot of additional work around this scam baiting. You've got a little bot that tries to automatically call them and all these tools that we were talking about. What do you think is your best payoff? So like a tool working or a prank succeeding, what do you think is like one of your biggest successes in this?
Success in terms of the YouTube channel or like how do you define success?
Yeah.
Let's spend 30 minutes talking about success.
I would say more a particular moment where something worked perfectly, where it really all came together.
I mean, there's definitely, I think there's two things that come to mind. One is if I spend a day with a scammer, I get their bank account information and then I redeem a gift card and they lose their mind. Like they're freaking out and screaming. Mm-hmm. It kind of is the classic. I checked everything off the box. You know, I wasted their day. I got some information to send to like fraud people and now they're mad. But then on the tool side, like the AI side, I think I've been excited working on it because it's sort of like cloning myself. You know, if I had 8 of these bots running all day taking phone calls and I could waste time all day, right? It would just be the numbers add up a lot quicker than. So in that regard, the success so far, there's been moments where I've had the bot, and mind you, right now it's using the Amazon Polly, which is the like Streamlabs text to speech, you know, that classic. Poppins voice and all that stuff.
Yeah, the donation readers, right?
The donation readers, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's using those voices. And if it spends 15 minutes with a scammer, I'm like a giddy little, you know, I'm having a field day. Because it's so bad, it sounds so fake, and yet the scammers talk to it. So that's a success, I guess.
Like I said, I love the idea of wasting scammers' time. Like it's just it's the best element of it, because obviously if scammers just constantly get their time wasted, I think it would lead to scammers not being interested in scamming anymore. Obviously,
maybe
they'd find better uses of their time, I would hope, and so there'd be less scams in the world. But so I love the idea of like expanding this idea and getting like entire competing call centers together, maybe like filled with like theater majors or anything like that, and giving them jobs, and then basically just like making entire businesses out of what you do.
Set up a counter call center.
I've thought about that a little bit. If I'm,
I think it'd be fantastic because theater major students obviously need jobs as well. So that this is a good idea for them. It creates jobs. Australia over here, the current government just got elected 2 days ago. They've pledged to create like anti-scam divisions in our law enforcement and stuff like that. So you know that they're interested, and I imagine they'll put some money towards my idea if I take it to them, to my local representative down the road.
Yeah. Hey, this excuse should
be built
me.
Into every phone, right? Like when you get a call, Alexa should be like, "Hey, this looks like a spam call. Want me to fuck with them?" And then you say, "Yes, Alexa, go."
Oh, God, that'd be so nice.
They kind of do. I forgot the name of the app. There is some app out there that does something.
I've got that. Like that. If you have a Google Fi phone, like one made by Google, and you're on Google Fi, they will have a assistant, like an automated assistant. If the number looks suspicious, they'll answer it for you. And they'll be like, "Hi, tell us why you're calling," and this and this. And if they are either a robocall or don't give a good answer, they'll just like not even connect the call through. It won't even ring your phone. I've had that on for like two years now. And it is the most useful fucking thing on my phone.
I'm not like that much of a conspiracy theorist. So sorry if this sounds like it is, but I do think that some of these phone companies or internet service providers, whatever you want to call it, could be doing more. And it's kind of like, why aren't you? So a good example would be, and I know YouTube is massive, but I'm willing to bet that right now, if you were to type in something like Elon Musk live stream or Elon Musk Bitcoin, you guys have probably seen this.
Oh, yeah.
There's like dozens of... Yeah, and it's not hard to get rid of these, right? Like, it's not complicated.
I mean, people do the Elon thing on Twitch, and they jump, thanks to viewbotting, to, like, the top three channels in Just Chatting, and they're there for a while.
What is a scam, though? I feel like everyone knows.
Crypto. It's a crypto address. Like, send your crypto here, and I'll double it. And it's Elon Musk clips.
Yeah. They play the Elon clips, and they put the title, like, Elon Crypto Giveaway for Charity or something like that. And they have the address, and it says, if you give this much, we'll double it. But they just keep what you give them.
That's such an old scam, though. You see that all the time on Twitter in general. Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of the RuneScape. Like, double your items type.
You brought up RuneScape. Charlie can join in.
It's a RuneScape scam, but for libertarian Bitcoiners. Yeah. And it's so... I don't think it is a conspiracy theory. I think you're completely right. I think they could clamp down on this fucking garbage. It's like YouTube and the awful comments section. Like, I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah.
You're owned by Google, one of the biggest tech companies in the history of our species. I do not believe you when you say that you can't do anything against a comment that says, "Hey, want to see my nudes? Go to myflatass.com/exe or whatever." Right. Like, come on.
Kyle, why are you making fun of me?
How many times is Kyle going to fall for this?
Right.
I have a guy now on my WhatsApp, like I have a fake WhatsApp account who's pretending to be me in my YouTube comment section, and I'm talking to him as me. It's really weird. It's really confusing.
I get that too on YouTube community posts. Like after they sit for a while, people will comment and then the reply will be someone with my picture and my name. And they'll be like, "Thank you so much for commenting. Yeah. Please reach out on WhatsApp to my manager, Josh. He is a very nice man."
Yeah. He will give you Bitcoin.
Josh does slap though, to be fair.
He's really great. He's done so much for me. I mean, look at all those comments he's posting.
Yeah, make sure you go click on it.
But it's not hard to, I don't feel like it's hard to solve that. Like it must be so straightforward. And like you said, these are multi what are they, $1 trillion companies, I think.
They're huge, at this point.
Amazon is,
Amazon,
Apple, I mean, Google, they have no excuse. None. You're a tech company. You invented
AI. These companies aren't known for spending money on things that they don't expect to make money out of.
Sure.
Like, what is the benefit to them for doing that?
Yeah, but what is the benefit of, like, okay, you go on these websites and sometimes you are befuddled by the fucking decisions they make. Like, now on YouTube, every video that's shorter than a minute is automatically a short, so you no longer get the little bar that you can scrub the video with. Like, what the fuck? Why?
I didn't know that.
Can't you, like, do something fucking useful? This is infuriating. Yeah, they retroactively, every video on YouTube that is under a minute long is now a YouTube short. It's infuriating.
It's also incredibly frustrating because some of them are put in this weird phone resolution now, and it looks like shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not great. I hate the shorts feature, too.
Damn you, TikTok.
They also open in, like, a different player on browser rather than the regular one sometimes, and it just sucks. It's just so convoluted and dumb.
It must be them going after TikTok, I assume. Like, I had someone the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Who,
absolutely, yeah.
So this isn't a flex. It's going to sound like a flex, but I was accidentally on the front page of Reddit last week.
Okay, Ken. We bring you on our show. Yeah, go ahead. Please tell us your incredible accomplishments.
But the reason I bring it up is I can't remember off the top of my head, but let's say it was something like the clip got 7 million views or something. But someone stole that clip, put it on TikTok, and overnight it got 20 million views.
Yep.
And so it's like,
that's TikTok.
Holy smokes. So I can imagine they're trying to.
Does anyone actually make money on TikTok from those kinds of shorts? So I was going to preface this by saying I know the personalities on TikTok then go on to make money through other aspects. Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine the monetization on short form content like that is ever profitable.
It's beyond terrible.
Most TikTok personalities make their money through sponsorships, but videos make like nothing, absolutely nothing comparatively.
The only way you get paid for shorts on YouTube and TikTok is through their Creator Fund program, which pays you, I looked it up a week ago. I think it's $1 for a million views or
something
like
pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
What the fuck? I could pay you better than that.
It is outrageously low.
Yeah. That's shocking.
If you get our podcast a million views, I'll pay you $10. How about that?
I think YouTube's a little bit better than TikTok for shorts. And I looked at a channel that was a shorts channel on YouTube. It had, I think it was 300 million views in a month, and they got $5,000 or $6,000.
Do you have a shorts channel?
Yeah, I have a shorts channel. I don't get anything from the Creator Fund because it's not even close.
Dude, again, everyone has a shorts channel. If you have a video shorter than a minute, you have a shorts channel now.
Yeah,
shorts video, even though you didn't mean to.
I have one without even trying. People clip lines from How It's Actually Made all the time, and tons of them are going around TikTok right now, and there's like whole channels dedicated to just ripping them.
How much money do you think we would make if we split up the entire podcast archive into 10-second clips and upload them to TikTok?
You could probably make a quick little Python script to do it automatically for you too.
That'd be amazing. Do it on your stream.
Some of our clips would just actually be silence, just 10 seconds of silence.
We use the unedited video so we have more comment to clip.
Yeah. Could you set up a bot that just whenever a scammer calls you, it plays our podcast for them?
I would see that too. That'd be funny.
And our ad
as long as it's more than $1 per million views.
What if you like did set up a way to like send your videos out to the scammers as well, so you're constantly getting viewers that way? I don't think that's kind of like a bot farm.
Is it against TOS? TOS?
Yeah, maybe.
Funny enough, sometimes the scammers will recognize my voices, and they'll be like, "Oh, they'll say, Kipoga, I'm your biggest fan. Like, I watch all your videos.
I saw you on Reddit."
Yeah, I saw you on. I think they're sometimes I think they're just trying to seem good, like win the situation.
Right.
But I find it ironic that, oh, so you're actually paying me, you know, by watching my videos as I'm trying to speaking, shut down your stuff.
Speaking on the trying to seem good, it seems that sometimes there's a strategy where they will like continually double down on ignorance and they're like, no, it really is Microsoft support. This really will help your computer. How much of that, how much of that do you think is legit? How many employees do you think are just told, hey, we're helping fix computers and you need to do these steps to do it?
That's a tough one. I think I've lost some of my, in the beginning, I was way more open to that idea, let's say, but as time has gone on, I've lost some of my patience.
You've lost faith.
For sure there's some people that they see an ad for a call center job and they are told to sell internet security or something, and some of them don't really know what they're doing. They're typing commands on a computer and following a piece of paper and they don't understand it. I just think it's pretty easy.
They gotta know that you don't fix Windows with Google Play cards.
Well, some of them don't. They'll actually partner with US companies and process credit card payments. And they'll tell you, they'll say, no, we're not like the other guys. We're not like the other scammers. We won't take gift cards. They'll actually install some pirated version of a of a antivirus software.
Right.
But and I think they will tell themselves at night that I'm helping people, but in reality they just lie about everything.
I feel like anyone that finds themselves in that kind of position where they're working in a scam center, I don't think they care at the end of the day.
No. That always makes me wonder why they don't like retrofit the scam into actual tech support. Be like, hey, give us $200. We'll go on your computer, run security essentials, like UC cleaner, run malware bytes. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's not a great service. You're overpaying, but at least they do something.
They do. Some of them do. And they use it as a like a way to collect information to scam you later. It's kind of sick.
Oh, God.
Actually, a friend of mine, well, an acquaintance of mine, it happened to his mother-in-law. She needed to get her printer fixed. She Googled, probably Yahoo'd, HP printer support, clicked the wrong website, talked to some scammers, but they actually installed the drivers and actually installed her printer. But then a week later, they called and said, like, there's network infections. We need to, this stuff.
I thought this was going to go a different direction. I thought you were going to say they called and said that she needs to buy more ink or something like that.
I mean, ink is just a scam anyway. But
yeah, that's what
All printers are massive scams. It's fucking crazy.
Austin McConnell had a fantastic video breaking
such
that
a
down.
Good video on
it.
I don't know that one. I'll have to look it up.
But we definitely know that Athletic Greens and Magic Spoon aren't scams. Isn't that right, boys?
That's right.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's
right. I know it in my heart.
And I know it in my tummy when I talk about Magic Spoon and Athletic Greens, because they're good things that'll fill you up. Okay, everyone, let's start with Magic Spoon. I want everyone's complete undivided attention, their complete silence. I want your focus. I want you to just listen to what I'm saying, because I'm talking about Magic Spoon, one of the most delicious cereals I've ever eaten. Stop the tape. Put down the character. Drop the goofy stuff that we're talking about. This is me. It's your boy. It's Andrew. I'm talking directly to you listening out there. I actually love Magic Spoon. I have tried 6 or 7 different flavors, and they're all just very, very good. The one that's like Fruit Loops, it's a better Fruit Loops. The one that's the chocolate one, that one's pretty good too. I don't even like chocolate that much. It's not my favorite dessert. Not even close. But it's just yummy. I don't know what the fuck you want me to say. It's yummy. Okay, let me say some specific things. How about that? How about the fact it's 0 grams of sugar? How about the fact it's a cereal with 13 to 14 grams of protein and only 4 net carbs? You want to know why it's better than the competitive brands, the children's brands? Because it's not loaded with crap that's just bad for you. It just tastes good. And it's really not good. Does that make sense? You're smart enough to know that it makes sense because you had a balanced breakfast. featuring Magic Spoon. Click the link below to get some Magic Spoon cereal today. Build your very own variety box using code OFFICIAL for $5 off. You can choose from the best-selling cocoa, fruity, frosted peanut butter, cookies and cream, and maple waffle flavors, plus other awesome flavors like blueberry and cinnamon, which is my favorite Digimon. A Magic Spoon product is so good, it's backed by a 100% happiness guarantee. You can return it, no questions asked, if for some reason your taste buds are broken. Click the link below, use code OFFICIAL, or go to magicspoon.com/official. to save $5 off your order today. You can also get it in Canada and the UK. Yay! But it's not green. I don't think any of the flavors are green the last time I checked. So a lot of people say there's conventional wisdom in eating your greens. You got spinach, you got kale, not lettuce. Lettuce is a waste of your time. But Athletic Greens is going to give you a good dose of those greens that you know you need to eat with just one delicious scoop of AG1 made by Athletic Greens. You're going to be absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens, which is like a Japanese transformational superpower from a Power Rangers-type show. It's a special blend of ingredients to support gut health, nervous health, immune system, energy, all sorts of great stuff. I recently was at a convention in Orlando, and I met a lot of you handsome folks. It was fucking great. And I constantly would go to the smoothie place because I just didn't have some time to eat and, you know, finagle around while I was sitting at the booth selling things and meeting people. So I just needed something to eat that was, like, drinkable, convenient. And constantly, whenever I asked for a smoothie, I would just go, hey, can you put some greens in there? Can you, like, add the kale mix, the blend mix? It might have been Athletic Greens that they had. It just felt better to know that there was something nice going into my smoothie, you know, instead of just, like, I don't know, frozen yogurt or whatever they put in there to pretend is healthy. Oh, boy. Athletic Greens costs you less than $3 a day. You'll be investing in your health for a cheap price. They have over 7,000 five-star reviews, and they're recommended by pro athletes and us, which is more important. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. One scoop and a cup of water every day, that's all it's going to take for you and a million different pills and supplements to be crammed into your body. Because the idea is you're going to get the nutritional value of a million different pills and supplements without having to take a million different pills and supplements. Make it easy. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/theofficial. That's athleticgreens.com/theofficial to take ownership over your health and pick the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Yummy, yummy. Okay, thank you, ads.
Yeah, thanks, ads. See, Kit, that was painless.
Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah.
I just smiled the whole time.
Oh, that's perfect. We'll freeze frame your smiling face over the ad the whole time.
Yeah.
So I have a bunch of questions, Kit. I've been watching your stuff for like years now. I'm a big fan. So if you don't mind,
so am I. You don't need to add to us.
No, but I'm like the bigger fan. Like Jackson's
special Andrew.
Nah, Jackson's like a 2-star. I'm like a 4.5. You know, it's like it's whatever.
It's out of what rating?
Out of 100, we're not very dedicated. I wanted to know. So there's a lot of rumors that float around on how to prevent scams on your end. Like, okay, do I? Yeah. Never answer the phone. Do I answer it and then tell them to stop calling? Do I do this? Do I do that? What would you tell people who don't have elaborate $1,000 equipment setups to fight scam baiting? How should they go about stopping it?
Yeah, well, this is maybe more tech savvy people. Funny enough, I use VoIP numbers for my everyday communication. So like my mom, the number that she has isn't like a Sprint or Verizon number. It's like it's a VoIP number that forwards to my phone. And a lot of the numbers that you buy are previously, like I bought it for $2 or something, right? And it previously was used for robocalling. So initially when I would call my mom, she would see suspected spam caller or whatever, but it was me. And funny enough, I never get robocalls on my VoIP numbers, I think, because they know in their system that. So one hack the scammers will hate you is if you just buy old VoIP numbers, but that's kind of complicated. So I think in an easier.
Plus, it's like playing the lottery, right? You don't know if you're going to get a scam number.
Yeah. Right. You could also get one that's on every list ever. So you're right. Yeah. I think I usually tell people I do notice. So those same VoIP numbers I use for the stream and the YouTube videos. Once I talk to a scammer and they know I'm a human being, it's over. I'm on a bunch of lists. They sell my number to a bunch of other scam call centers, and I will forever get calls on that number. So for sure, I do think, even though it's somewhat of a myth, if you don't answer your phone, unless you know who's calling you, I think that's definitely of value.
Do we need, but it kind of sucks, especially if you need.
What was that?
So I was going to say we need laws to prevent this sort of shit in the first place. It's ridiculous to me that like a company can just sell your phone number and all of your information to various companies in the first place. That,
well,
it is a scam. How is that
for car warranty? You've heard of the car warranty scam. They're like, I've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty.
No, here's how it works. Okay, here's why it's so easy to dox literally everyone on the internet, Jackson. When you sign up for shit like Apple or your ISP and such, buried deep in the terms of service and the privacy notice and shit, they say, hey, we may collect and share your data. What that means is we're going to take your license plates, your fucking phone number, your email address, your internet usage history, and we're going to sell it to various companies that then use that data.
Yeah, and but that's fine. How you have those services where it says, trustworthy. They wouldn't sell it to scammers. Right.
They wouldn't do anything.
Right, but all that ends up happening is all an Indian company has to do is just buy like a database of all the phone numbers, and that's it. Then they just put it into their system and call them one by one.
It's also not even, I mean, you can look up voter, if you, I'm not telling people not to vote, I'm not trying to get political, but if you look up like voter information, people who are registered for a political party, all that stuff's just right there on Google too. So you can just go look up people within certain age groups in a certain city who are Republican or something, and you just have their data. It's not even,
does it say their address? It's fucking weird. Like,
Americans are weird. Yeah, because like in Europe we have, Europe is like a really shitty country when it comes to privacy, but at the very least we have some laws that protect shit like, you know, our voting history. Like, it is very unique to America that you can just Google someone's name and some of the first results will be like, hey, pay $5 and you can see this person's criminal history, like their criminal record, or pay $5 and you can see their car registration. Like, what the fuck? Why is this even online? Like, who shared this? This is weird.
That does remind me. So I was going to say the car warranty scam thing, a lot of people don't realize. When you register your car at the, you know, Department of Motor Vehicles or whatever in your state, most states, if not all of them, don't quote me on this, but most states will immediately sell that information, and it's how they pay their bills, basically. And so you register your car and suddenly you're getting calls from the car warranty people and postcards in the mail, and it's because you gave it to the state. It's pretty messed up. It's sad.
Don't you have to pay for car registration and stuff? Shouldn't that be paying for the
DMV? So who do you sell this information to? Like, what if we sold all of our patrons' information to someone?
We're not going to. Don't say that.
Hustle. No, but what if, Jackson? What if? Think how much money we can
hypotheticals.
Make. What if?
Who does it go to? Like, who's buying that information?
Whoever we choose.
And again, the scammers and shit. Yeah. I think, like, literally the CDC, I think, was buying information like this to track people. I think that was a headline I read like a couple of weeks ago. People buy this shit, dude. It's information. They all like it.
Well, CDC was buying this information. The government, shouldn't they have this information?
I have no idea. I don't know why they're buying it from like different companies, but
couldn't they just get it from the DMV or whatever?
Where did you read that? Was it Facebook or like a verified?
No, no, no. It was an actual news article. I have no Facebook. I promise.
I'm just messing with you. I don't know if I know the exact organizations that buy that. It'd be interesting to look
at. Are they like entire businesses set up to handle the transaction of information? So like Google Twitter, all those tech conglomerates or whatever, sell the information to this specific business, and then that business finds buyers? Like, are they middle? I would imagine they'd have
probably,
to be middlemen.
Probably. Because I would venture to guess that there's some, I guess I would say, legitimate companies, like sales organizations that want to know.
A deal in data.
I mean, I think it's, I'm a pretty big supporter of privacy, and I think it's crazy anyway, but
found it.
But I could, you could argue that there's legitimate people who just want to sell you solar panels or something. I don't know, right?
Oh, like just wanna... Those are so aggressive. Have you guys, I'm assuming all of you have got the solar panel calls, right?
Every now and then, yeah.
Solar panels are great. What's wrong with them?
I've had door to door people come over and be like, hey, we want to install solar panels.
Oh, yeah, solar panels are great. What's your problem?
It's a scam, Jackson. The solar panels are cool and everything, but these orgs, they'll call you like a million times a week about solar panels, but you can't hang up right away because the second you make the mistake of answering, they go into like a 5-paragraph long spiel about solar panels and how your place you qualifies for solar panel installation.
It's not like, it's not like their little speech puts up like a little hex on you or something that you can't move. You just hang up.
Because they're actual human beings. I don't know. It just feels weird hanging up. It's like, oh man.
They're not human beings. They're telemarketers. Just hang up.
Just start screaming.
Do you
is he really afraid? Like, ah.
So what do you do when you go to a store and they say something like, do you want to sign up for our rewards program and get 5%? Like when they go through their whole spiel at the checkout, do you just smile?
I throw my shit on the floor and run out the exit.
Ironically, I just sit there and smile until they're done. And I just say, I appreciate it. I'm good.
I sometimes feel bad. Like I know that they have to do it for their job, but I'm thinking, I don't want to do any of this. I
flip the tables on them. I go, do you want to? It sounds like a great deal. You should sign up.
Andrew just sits there and debates them when it's ready.
I compare numbers, I do the math. Yeah.
Do you believe in Jesus?
I'm like the worst for that kind of stuff. Even shit that is like frustrating, I'll stand there and I'll take their slips or whatever. Like it was an election over here in Australia a couple days ago. And we went and early voted, and we went into the early voting center. And you know how, like, at polling places or whatever, they have a bunch of volunteers and representatives at the front, like, trying to coerce you into voting for their, representative or whatever. So I ended up with, like, every single one of their fucking slips because I couldn't say no.
I made that same fucking mistake.
God, just
I couldn't hurt their feelings.
I made that same goddamn mistake. It was when they were voting to legalize marijuana in certain parts of Florida. So someone had a packet on the marijuana bills, and I was like, oh, I should know specifically, you know, just in case I make a mistake. So I took that one. And then, like, 10 other people walked up, and they were like, here, you're taking literature. Take this. And it fucking sucked. They wouldn't leave me alone.
I just feel bad. I feel bad. I can't say no.
That's how I feel with like.
You're good.
Okay. See, we're all too nice. We don't want to interrupt.
Everyone's shy now.
It's just there's the 10-second silent clip.
Yeah, it's just the scummiest tactic when they talk to you directly because it's so much harder to like decline someone to their face. It's the same thing with mall free samples. I always end up taking all the fucking toothpicks of free samples at the mall. Just because I feel bad ignoring them and saying no, even though I don't want it.
Gotta be strong.
It works.
Say no. Practice in front of the
mirror. Appeal to your human emotions and stuff. It's fucked.
There's entire businesses built around the fact that you won't say no. It's a big part of salesmanship.
This should be made into a law that they can't guilt trip us by being human beings. They should
get, not fair.
They should get like statues to do it. I don't know. I don't think they should be allowed to. Put people out the front of polling people. It's a form of intimidation, and I won't have it. I felt guilted.
I don't know if I've experienced... I mean, maybe I have. I'm trying to think if I've experienced that. Is that a thing here? I'm being naive, but is that a thing here in the States?
For petitions, it is. What?
Yeah, for polling people outside of polling, giving literature?
Oh, for polling specifically. Well, like, are you saying... Oh. I guess I just haven't experienced like going in to vote, and there's some dude... holding up a sign that's like, although
that's
I'm,
what
I'm
always in... boggles my mind. Like every poll I see ever is like, oh, so and so many Americans believe this and this. My first thought is always like, who did they ask? Like, who the fuck actually?
Oh, you're talking about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I got you.
Do they call you? Do you walk into them at the mall? Who's actually doing the polling and where and when and how?
Kid, I did mean voting, like actually going to the polls and voting for elections and such.
Okay. And were the people trying, were they polling to see who you voted for, or were they trying to persuade you to vote for their candidate?
So maybe polling isn't the correct word. That's just how I've heard that place described, like a polling center is what they call it over here, to go to elections or whatever. But like going into the center, they always fucking like gather around the doors like a horde of hungry dogs. And just fucking, you can't get through them until you like at least interact with them to some degree. They're like bouncers, basically, which is really annoying. There's a representative, or not a representative, sorry, a volunteer for every political party in Australia at the front of every single polling center every single time, no matter which one I go to, they always have volunteers there, and they're always full of fucking slips to hand you on how to vote, because we have preferential voting over here. So they try to instruct you on where to place other parties as well in your preferences. So it's like a full on. It's like they like hand you a, what are they called, infographic kind of thing,
right?
Instructing you how to vote.
Little pamphlet.
It's just the most it's the most condescending bullshit ever. I hate it. It should be. I don't understand why it's legal. It shouldn't be legal.
Yeah.
And is that not a thing in America? Like, if you go to vote for like the president or something, they don't have people at the front of those places.
They do.
I think they do. I mean, that's what an exit poll is, right? They literally ask you, "Hey, who did you just vote for?" So they can like predict it on the news and shit.
Exiting is different. I'm fine with that because you've already made your decision and you've already voted.
Oh, you mean
I'm trying to convince you at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's all. Yeah, it's all pretty intense.
There has to be some kind of like psychological element to it too. I was talking to my partner about it. Like, there has to be some degree of voters that choose based on how many volunteers are there for certain parties. Like, things just look better if there's a more organized, you know, appeal to our senses.
They should like have cookouts and stuff, like have a bounce house for the kids, free hot dogs.
I'll vote for the first person who can make me laugh right now.
Free burgers if you vote for this guy.
Just saying. Do you think there's like Redditors who just go to the polling station and just like, convince me? Why should I vote for you?
Oh, there absolutely is. I was going into the center, I saw like multiple people having debates outside, like actually talking and interacting with these people.
Like for fun?
Yeah, I'm like, what a fucking sad waste of time. You come into the polling center, you probably already know who you're voting for, or if you don't, you're just gonna, you know, do a donkey vote or whatever it's called, where you just vote random numbers anyway.
What if, now hear me out, what if, going full circle, what if they're trying to waste their time so they don't have to bother you? What if they're like the scam baiters of polling sites?
They're scam baiting your information. That's amazing.
they're saving me. That's so nice, dude.
Yeah, they're running resistance so you don't have to.
they're true heroes.
All I could think when I walked by was what a pathetic loser. That shows how nice I am.
You gotta believe.
Oh, my lord. So going back to funny, goofy comedy, Kit Boga, where did you get your improv skills from?
Oh, there was this guy I met at a polling center.
He had the best material.
He trained him everything he knows.
He came back every election to learn new lessons.
Yeah, he took me under his wing.
Kit's first gig was yelling at who to vote for, just on the street.
Honestly, I think a lot of it was Twitch chat, to be honest. Like, if I watch old stuff from 5 years ago, I don't really think it was that funny. It was just like I was calling scammers and wasting their time. But I think over the past handful of years, I've just, I don't know, practiced, and like Twitch would drop memes in chat and I would say them, and then I kind of honed in on, I don't know, my style of humor.
I never did improv before that.
What was that?
You never did improv before that, or had any kind of inclinations towards the comedic arts?
I watched a lot of Whose Line Is It Anyway, if you're familiar with that.
Oh, incredible show.
And I would occasionally, you know, in like high school and stuff, we would play games like that, but not, I wasn't a part of, like, I didn't go to a school or anything like that.
I just ask because on your show, you know, there's really straightforward improv bits like wasting their time and frustrating them. But then you have some really elaborate ones like Crow Pro. It's like alternate universe business. And like you, there's some pathways you go down that just to the uninitiated viewer seem to make no sense. You know,
it's true. I've been having some trouble editing videos like that for YouTube as well, because I don't want to get too far in the weeds on it, but it seems like a lot of content these days, you know, it's a it's a 10 minute video about a very specific thing. And then how do I, like, this is a multi-day 36 hour story about how I created a random business and a scammer is pretending to be the president. And like, there's just all these random like plot lines that don't make any sense. You're like, how do you, how could you possibly, you know, edit this so someone can understand? But I think, yeah, I think those things just happen randomly. And I like to think of it. So my grandpa had Alzheimer's, and he would just rant and tell he was very happy, but he would rant and ramble and tell stories that made no sense. And so a lot of time, like, that's where I draw the inspiration from. Is I just I just start talking about crows in my backyard or whatever. And if the scammers go along with it, then I don't, it becomes canon, you know, it's part of the world now. It's part of the universe. But
so do you go into these, like, with a technique in mind or like content in mind, like you want to bring up a certain, you know, joke or gag or something like that, or does it just happen organically?
Sometimes I do, like, it's actually frustrating to me, because I do have a list of ideas that I want to do, but because the scammers aren't in on it, right? Like, I can't.
Yeah, I got to wait for someone to lead you in without knowing.
Right.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's frustrating because I have things that I think are funny, or like for the long, I've played old school RuneScape for a really long time, and forever I thought, oh, what if I could get a scammer to complete Tutorial Island? Like, it would just be a, if you ever played, I just think it's a funny, like, goal to have, but it's so hard to try to figure out how to get a scammer to do that, because they just
Oh man, that would be perfect. You should get, you should get them to play RuneScape and then scam them in RuneScape. Ultimate scam.
It's multi-layers deep. Yeah, like, I'll trim your armor for you or whatever.
Yeah, you get him invested in the game. He spends like 50 hours getting gold and stuff. He's really loving it. And then you come around, the man that introduced RuneScape to him, and you say you'll trim his armor or dupe his armor or whatever. And then he's scammed.
I won't quit until that's done. That's beautiful.
Yes, please make that happen. That is beautiful.
I had a dream of having a scammer edit a video for me, and I accomplished that recently. It wasn't one of my videos, though. That was the ultimate goal, was to get them to, like, to trick them into editing a Kit Boga video, and then halfway through they're like, wait, what's going on?
Even better if they're editing their video on them. That would be fantastic. You just send them the files of the call after.
That's funny. Yeah.
That'd be perfect.
But most of it is just, it sort of just happens in the moment. And I think that's part of why I've been able to continue doing it for so long, because I tend to get pretty, I don't know about you guys, but like, I get really into a particular hobby and then I just discard it and move on to the next one. That's like how I, that's how I am in real life. And, but I think because every week there's a new scammer who I haven't met, and who knows what they're going to say or do, even though their scripts are usually pretty similar.
They're still people on the other end, so they have somewhat dynamic responses.
It's like a roguelike. I don't know. Yeah.
It's cool. I want to know how you haven't got like a Indian wanted poster out there, basically. Like, they've put your face or voice or your sticks up in, like, every call center possible at this point.
So that's I think that's something that does exist. I bet he does. I don't know if you guys watched the new Mark Rober, Jim Browning video, but they had in the video, they had a group chat that was like 50,000 people, all scammers. And
holy fuck.
They knew the second that Mark Rober and Jim Browning sent people to India to infiltrate. They knew immediately. And they followed them around the city, like from the airport, and reported them to each other through that group chat. So I have no doubt that Kit has that same level of infamy as these call centers.
There's definitely I describe it like the boogeyman effect, where sometimes when they sense that something isn't normal or I'm really giving them a hard time or whatever, they'll say things like, is this Jim Browning or is this Kit Boga or is this? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because if you've watched Jim's videos, I don't sound anything like Jim.
I don't think any human sounds anything like Jim Browning.
Yeah. His voice does sound like the boogeyman.
Yeah, his voice is just so distinct.
The boogeyman. Yeah. Baba Yaga. Yeah.
So I think there's myths and rumors of these scam baiters, but they don't always really know. Like, they don't really know who Jim is or watch all of his content. But something weird is happening and they go, oh my God, it could be Jim. It could be Kipo.
To be fair, though, they got you. You know that if they say your name, you have to divulge your information and be like, oh, you got me. Yeah, it's me. I was tricking you. You figured it out. Haha.
I never do.
Send the gift cards.
I never do. I think it's so funny, personally. But I'm like,
Have you ever been successfully guilt-tripped by a scammer? Have you ever felt their plight?
Ooh. So there's definitely moments where I have, after the fact, spent a long time thinking about what just transpired, if that makes sense. So there was a guy who recently this year, I think it was this year, I redeemed the Google Play card and he was screaming in a way that I've never, like, in agony, as if his whole life had been destroyed. And at first it's kind of like magical and wonderful because he's a scammer, right? But then this guy in particular, I remember thinking afterwards, like, what on earth is going on in his life that got him to a point where this $500 Google Play card is like, he's screaming as if his life is over. So I don't know if that answers your questions, but there's definitely times where I think, oh man, there's a whole other, you know, you don't know everything. Not that I'm justifying it. In no way would I justify scamming someone.
I don't think it could ever be justified. Yeah. But like, it would be. Some of the screams that you hear from them are really like desperate. Definitely, I don't know if it's desperation for the monetary reward, desperation for some kind of reward after spending 40 hours with you, or if it's like their wife and kids are currently being held hostage by the owners of this call center scheme, and that was their one ticket out of there.
Right. I've heard rumors, and sometimes people will, I assume they're like trolls, but sometimes people will message me and say, like, oh, Kit, you're picking on these, you know, poor people, and this is the only thing they can do, otherwise their kids will die. And it's just not the actual situation. And when I've had the opportunity to talk to a bunch of these scammers before, and they'll tell you there are other jobs, but I make more money here, right? It's just, I could go get a real call center job, but they pay me 3x here at this scam call center. So
also, way to paint them as the victim in this transaction. Like, this fucking bottom feeder who's trying to rob old grannies. How dare you pick on him? Fuck you.
That's just the internet. They will always try and do that. Yeah, I've noticed it with everything.
Yeah,
literally fucking everything. They somehow always try and find a way to paint the objective worst people in a good light. And like, there's actually always two sides to every situation. Go
ahead, Jackson.
I was going to say, I've said it before on the podcast, but I've noticed a trend online where, and this is very particular, but I've noticed a trend online where thieves are being, like, praised now. Like, like, somehow it's a noble crime to take from other people if you're in desperate need.
Like or Robin Hood?
In some kind of quantifiable need. Yeah. Well, no, Robin Hood divvied it out to people in need. He didn't keep it for himself.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the people on, like, Twitter and other social media and stuff are genuinely just encouraging, endorsing, and complimenting thieves now. And it's just...
I mean, you remember baffling. The...
That's not what society should
aim
for. You
remember the TikTok trend with devious licks? It was literally just, hey, let's hype up stealing. Like, okay, cool. Fuck you. Ugh. But even with that whole... even with that whole, like, justifying and siding with the bad guys, some of those scammers, too... Yeah, I'm sure a handful of them are desperate or in a bad situation, but some of them are just genuinely terrible people. Like... There have been times, Kit, I think, where you pretended like you fell or something really bad happened, and they were just like, okay, I don't care. I hope you die. Yeah. Give me your money. Hurry up. You know, it's like no compassion whatsoever.
I do think that I've met some, what would the word be, sociopath type.
Yeah, absolutely.
Zero empathy. There are other, occasionally there are scammers who seem to give up. Give up's the wrong word. They'll decide that they don't want to scam me if I really lay it on thick. Like, I'm an old lady who, actually, just a couple of weeks ago, I had a guy, we were only 20 minutes into the call, and I said something like, well, after the accident, things have been really hard and blah, blah. And he was like, oh, what accident? And I just said something about a medical thing. And he's like, well, sir, your computer's all taken care of. Have a good day. And he hung up. It was like, I guess he has an ounce of humanity left.
Yeah, weird.
But other guys would just double down. They'd be like, oh, great.
Whenever I've watched your content, I've really hoped for a moment like that where, like, the mask slips up. Not mask, but, you know, the facade slips up and, like, they come to their senses and humanity restores itself to them, and they tell you about their entire operation and how they'll now go to the, they'll now be whistleblowers, whatever, they'll join with you to bring an end to this organization or something. But it never happens, and it hurts me.
Yeah, I've had, like, once or twice I've had some situations sort of like that, but not very often. And back when I first started, I would have more what I would call heart-to-heart type conversations afterwards, where I'd almost debate them and be like, what are you doing with your life? But I found that usually they would just lie, and a lot of times there's a manager listening to the call or nearby anyway, so it's not like they're going to say, you're right, I'm scamming and I'm ashamed of myself, because the manager's gonna, you know, I don't really do that anymore, just because.
And I find that really funny too, because some of the things that you have these people do is just like absolute nonsense. You had one guy like sing the Declaration of Independence, and like,
true.
Like, I don't know why. How do they think this is gonna get them money? I don't understand it.
Maybe it's just the desperation, I guess.
I suppose. But if they had their manager listening, you think he'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
No, he'd be over there with his hand on his chest. Just to do that pledge of allegiance. But God bless.
He rises from the desk.
For the fifth time today?
In the Mark Rober videos, you'll see, like, or the Jim Browning videos, you'll see they don't really let the call center workers have their phones either, because they don't want them to steal the, dare I call them, leads. That's like a sales term, the victim's information. So, which is kind of a shame, because there are times where they are desperate enough that I could get them to, like, record videos or do stupid things, but they don't have a phone, so it's like physically impossible. But sometimes I had one guy, you've heard of Choosing Beggars on Reddit. There was one guy who instead of the $500 gift card, I bought him a $100 gift card, and he didn't want it. And so I told him if he held up a sign saying "Are Choosing Beggars" that I would get him a gift card. And he just, like, you know, he doesn't get it, but he took a picture of himself holding the Choosing Beggars sign, which I thought was funny.
God, that's so good. One of my favorite ones that I've watched of your little schemes, one of your videos, is the one where you got the guy to pretend to be Santa Claus. And, oh man, it was brilliant. And I just couldn't imagine a situation where, like, I'm in a call center or I'm working in a call center or something, and an employee next to me is, like, pretending to be Santa, singing Christmas tunes. And, like, that's just a normal day. Well, right. That's just...
The well, thing I is guess Jackson, for them, the normal is weird, but...
Yeah. Exactly. And again, I keep referencing this, but it's a great video that gives a huge insight into, like, the call centers. In the new Jim Browning video, he spends, like, 30, 40 minutes on the phone with them, telling them their real name. And instead of being afraid, like, the first time he says it to the girl, he's like, no, your name's not actually Cynthia Buckwater. Your name is, you know, whatever it was, Priya, I think it was. And instead of being afraid, she goes like, how did you know? And they all treat it like a magic trick. So then everyone came and gathered around. They were laughing. They were giggling like, tell us her real name to my left. What's her name? And they tell her their name. And they treat it like it's summer camp. It's very odd.
They in no way like hang up the phone or have a fear reaction. They just keep going. Who are you? Who are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are you doing? You're like doing a magic this? Trick.
Who are you? Yeah. Who are you? Yeah.
I do think it's. I run across a lot of. I think there's a lot of drug usage and stuff too. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but. Summer camp is a good way to describe it. It feels like a bunch of kids who don't really, they haven't fully thought out what they've gotten themselves into, and they think that they'll never get in trouble and it doesn't matter. And then they supply them with drugs and alcohol and lists of old people to call, and they have at it.
What the fuck? I didn't know there was like drug and alcohol abuse at these
companies.
Me neither.
Well, from what I've seen, and there are times where you like, I don't think this is a. There are times where I swear I'm talking to a guy. They're freaking out. They're mad, and you hear them like go do a line or something, and they come back, and they're like,
and then they feel crazy. Great. They're like, yeah, you scared me good. Well, fuck yeah.
Well, they're like, it's sometimes it's night and day. They go from being. Like they hate you and want to murder you and your entire family, and then they come back and they're on cloud nine. So, I don't know if you were scamming old ladies who were crying all day long. Like, what would you do, right?
Well, they've probably been doing it for so long where it's just numb to them. If they had any humanity in them, I feel like it would have been stripped away by now, just from the sheer monotony and continuation of it. What does India do? Is it mostly India that these scam companies run out of?
Mm-hmm.
I think something for like 98% of them, I think.
For like the big call number. Centers.
There's some in Africa, though, I believe. Like some smaller ones.
And yeah, so those princes are real.
does the Indian government not do anything about it?
They do, because kind of. It's just... Like I said, it's hard, and a lot of it, I guess, from what I've read, a lot of it does seem to have some level of government overlooking, you know, perhaps they're in cahoots to a certain level, but at the end of the day, I think the majority of them are located in one specific part of India, and I'm blanking on its name, maybe Kit
it's
or Andrew
Sector
knows.
Sector 5,
yes. Sector I was going to say version 5, but that's like some Halo shit. But yeah,
so is Sector 5. What the fuck is Sector 5?
It's where all the scam calls are, Jackson. God, how do you not know that?
They're like quarantined into a scam city called Sector 5.
Pretty much. It's like cyberpunk for
There's
calls.
There's a lot of infrastructure there,
what the
too.
Fuck?
So. Yeah, it's also easy to pick up and move. So like Kit mentioned earlier, they have a legitimate business attached to the scam center. So it's like you have a cover, you have a real actual income coming in, etc. But if they get found out and they are really getting cracked down, they go, oh no, my shell corporation, I will dismantle that, move down the street, and just bring everyone with me.
And there's another call center down the block that's open.
Yeah, they don't care. It doesn't matter
to
them.
The other element that I've read about too is that And it kind of makes sense that when they're prosecuting this stuff, I've heard that a lot of their criminal, what would you say, justice system is backed up. And you've got, let's say, you've got murderers and all kinds of people, like things are happening locally in India that need to be dealt with.
No,
and then
scams,
these guys are dealing with foreigners. And they're not as, again, I'm not trying to throw too much shade, but like I've heard, I've read that it's just not as high of a priority as well.
Well, also, which, do they pay taxes on their income from scamming? Because if they do, why the fuck would the government care?
I mean, my assumption is they don't because they're getting Google Play cards and stuff. But but if they did,
you have to send one Google Play card to the government for each scam.
Yeah, do they pay their taxes?
There's
in Google
a guy
Play
just
cards?
Scratching it off.
Yeah.
So
this will pay for the roads.
So they then in turn do they resell the gift cards to like flippers online to get actual money?
Yeah,
then
said.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
What I want to know is that the same for like every type of the example I'm thinking of right now is like G2A, you know, where they sell Steam cards or Steam cards, but Steam game codes. Is that the same? Like, do scammers do that as well? Like, are they selling scammed copies of games?
All I know is I stopped using it, but I don't know the truth. I think that. I'm sure. So I remember one of my siblings, you know, years ago, got a gift card for Christmas that they didn't want and sold it on eBay, you know, for $10 cheaper. And that was completely legitimate. Right. But you got to wonder what are the percentages that are, I guess that's in my mind, like how many of those Steam games or gift cards are legit versus it's a scam. And I don't know the answer.
Yeah,
to that.
I
don't know.
It doesn't make sense from like a supply and demand perspective. Like, where are these codes coming from in the first place that they can then sell them at a discounted price from the actual marketplace? I've never understood G2A or I get that it's a seller marketplace. Like, anyone can sign up to sell on G2A. It's not like actually, you know, regulated or anything like that. But like, I've just never understood where those codes actually come from. But someone in chat seems like they made a good point where they said almost every seller in G2A purchased the game keys, so the game keys from Steam, with stolen credit cards, which would, I guess, make sense.
Oh,
but that is a lot of fucking stolen credit cards.
I knew a guy who would buy Steam games on sale or when they were like on summer sale or on, was it like the Humble Indie Bundle? Is that still around?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Humble Indie Bundle.
Yeah, and he would buy them. Someone's like taking notes. I don't know if this is a good business opportunity, but he would do that. And then later when they came off sale, he would post it on like G2A and stuff because, you know, it was 60% off and now he can sell it 20% off or something. But I don't think that is the majority of the.
Yeah, that's weird. Also, if you're buying game codes with stolen credit cards, you have a stolen credit card. Couldn't you just use that to buy stuff?
They cancel it. It gets canceled like pretty much instantly, and it's easier to get caught, I'm guessing. So if you just buy like Steam codes or something like that, you get a little more bang for your buck, would be my guess.
Mm-hmm. They're probably hoping
so
that
it's a wave.
Yeah, goes under the radar.
Go on. No. Yeah. They're siphoning off like small amounts of funds from it instead of big purchases.
Yeah. Lately, I've seen the scammers, they'll try to get you to sign up for like a Bitcoin, something like a Coinbase or whatever. That way, you know, you upload your driver's license and you pass the verification and now they have they can buy Bitcoin under your, under your name, which is...
That's not... What has there ever been a scammer that has actually impressed you with their procedures or their ingenuity or their scamming methods?
There is one that comes to mind, and occasionally people will say, like, kid, don't they just watch watch all the like Jim's videos and stuff, and now they know how to scam people better? And I think the evidence that suggests the contrary, because one time I had a scam organization call me and they said, hi, we're with Microsoft. Your computer has some problems and we need to. Oh, no. It was they needed to refund me $200 because I overpaid for some service. And then they pretended they said, you know, connect to your bank account. Let's see if we can get you the refund. And they said, you know what? It's going to take 24 to 48 hours. Call us back if you have any problems. And they waited and they called me back like 3 days later and then tried to scam me. And I've never had any other. It felt so much more real because they waited. I used to joke about when the IRS scam was a thing, when they would call and say that you owe taxes to the IRS, if you're familiar with that one. I would laugh because if you've had the unfortunate issue of having to call the real IRS, you'll wait on the phone for an hour or two. And the whole time it just says, like, hang up and go to irs.gov. We don't want to talk to you. But those scammers, the second you dialed the number, like, immediately picked up. We're like, hello, I'm with the IRS. Let me help you. So anyway, it's a simple, subtle thing, but just not immediately trying to scam me, I think, was the most impressive thing that I've seen so far.
Displaying some level of patience.
Yeah.
It's not easy to actually, like, engage with scammers. It seems easy because you obviously know how to navigate it, but I imagine just, like, a normal layman like me trying to, like, joke with scammers or fuck with them, I'd end up actually just losing money or my bank account or something.
I'm always so scared of answering unknown phone calls.
I'm tempted to always pick up and fuck with them, but I'm like, what if they know?
What if they trace my phone to my exact location and then they send their money collecting van and then I have to give them money?
In RuneScape, I learned that lesson already. Like, I used to fuck with scammers and then I got scammed while trying to fuck with the scammers knowing the whole time.
Tell us the story.
Because there's always some level to it that you don't prepare for that they did. So, like, when I was fucking with these scammers, I knew everything that was happening except one crucial mechanic, where if you trade with someone one tile over, you move to them instead of the other way around. And what this did is it popped my character out of a safe zone and into combat, and I insta-died because of it.
Really?
But the whole time, I knew it was a scam, and then I'd already gotten, like, an extra, like, 20 mil myself for the counter scam, but I got greedy because I thought I could get more, but I didn't know mechanic. Yeah. So I learned the hard way. Like,
it's just bad enough being scammed, but it's even worse being scammed when you know you're being scammed.
Yeah. Exactly. It's scary. It's dangerous.
I was driving home from the warehouse one day, and I had this voicemail from my insurance, and it sounded totally legit. Like, it was like a normal woman on the phone, and she was like, hi, my name is Ann with insurance, and we noticed a thing with your account. Call us back at this number at any time. And I was like, okay, you know, fuck it. I'm driving home. I'll just take care of this. Yeah. So what I should have done is Googled the phone number to make sure it was the right one. Mm. But I didn't. And I called a scam number. But it, like, first the phone was answered and there was nothing. It was just silence. And I was like, hello? And then a man just goes, hello. And I'm like, hello, is this insurance? And with the thickest Indian accent, he goes, yes, this is your insurance. And I immediately just hung up.
Yeah.
And I was so terrified. I was like, oh, fuck, he has my number now. Oh, no. No.
Why do you ask what happened to Anne? Anne was the one with the insurance.
Oh, fuck.
That's hard.
I was just so terrified. I was like, he's got all my info now. Please, fucking Christ. Yeah.
No. Your car just fucking stops.
My little dashboard has his face on it. You're not getting away.
Yeah.
I do think there's some, like, as much as I don't really encourage people to do it because, like Charlie was saying, you can end up giving up information or you think that you know what you're doing and then you make a mistake. But there are a lot of situations where the scammers can get your name and your social security number and your bank account information and all of this stuff. But then what? Like, they don't necessarily have the capability of now opening a Best Buy credit card. You know what I mean? Like they don't have, there's still other levels that they can't bypass. And what they would need is someone here in the United States, let's say, willing to cooperate to then exploit that information. So I don't think you necessarily need to be that worried that you... I hope you're not losing about, sleep over the insurance lady is what I'm saying.
No, I stopped caring. I'm a giant internet celebrity already. People want a piece of me. It's fine.
Okay.
It's okay.
I'm just... I'd be worried about, like... Maybe not so much like the monetary aspect of it or me falling for the scam, because I know I wouldn't give over like financial information or anything like that. I just don't want to attract the ire of obviously malicious people who don't have much to lose in the first place. So I don't want them to like hack into my computer or my phone. And
Jackson
then,
doesn't know, want
look through
Indians.
My webcam and see my flaccid penis or something.
Jackson doesn't want Indians flying all the way to Australia to kick his ass. That's what
imagine they did, though, just for Jackson, just to beat the shit out of him.
Just to make an example,
Oh.
Spend 30 hours on a plane just to whip him in the dick.
Yeah, good.
Oof.
Or they fucking, I go in to vote the next day and they're there at the door. No voting for me. And I get fined by the government because we have mandatory voting and I couldn't make it to the booth.
So
the whole thing.
So, Kid, I got one last question, probably.
Okay.
You are, it seems, you know, able to do all this scam baiting full time because you have such a large Twitch community and also a big successful YouTube channel and this and that. If you weren't scam baiting full time, what would you see yourself doing? I know you push a lot of software dev and programming, or would you stay related to this? Where do you think you'd be doing?
If the internet disappeared or if the scammers all went away, mm-hmm. probably something with software, particularly AI, I think, has captured my attention. I think it's, I think terrifying is the word I usually use for AI because it's both awesome. It feels like it has a ton of amazing benefits and equally, terrible things. So, but probably
scary implications.
Yeah. Well, to you, well, we were talking about the Elon Musk live streams earlier. I saw one on Reddit yesterday where they were using voice synthesis to deep fake Elon's voice. And he was saying like, sign up on this website and I'll send you money. And you know, that stuff's gonna, that'll happen. It's just gonna keep getting more and more, intense, but there's also really amazing uses for AI or AI. It'll be like AI wars, the AI wars of 2025. They'll be fighting battles.
Fake person versus fake person.
And your scam bot will be at the front lines, basically.
I hope so, dude.
You'll be ready.
And Granny Edna is going to be leading the entire political movement.
You'll be scamming all the other AI. Yeah. You'll be in control.
Yeah, probably something
like
that.
Sometime, a couple of years before the AIs get scary. Right now, they're very clumsy because every single time they trot out a new AI, it turns into a Nazi literally within 5 minutes.
Sure.
You guys know those stories where like Amazon or Facebook or whatever, they'll put their AI on Twitter like, hey, talk to our AI. I think the last time they did it, within 10 minutes, the AI started tweeting out photos of Jewish journalists with like a target on their face.
It was it learned immediately to spam the N-word and just put that in like every sentence. Yeah.
Look at if you get a chance and you're bored, there's a website called Papers with Code that has a ton of stuff, or OpenAI just released, I think it's called DALL-E 2.
DALL-E is fucking scary.
DALL-E 2 is
a painting algorithm.
What is DALL-E?
It's so good.
Has it learned how to play chess?
No, if you asked it to make a picture. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you said, I want a picture of chess, a chessboard in space in the theme of this, in this color range, it would do it. Like, it's insane how good it does.
It is shocking how
it is actually
it's like Uncanny Valley.
Good.
Yeah, it's not perfect in any way, but if you know, you can squint and it looks just like it.
It is I'll say this, I know it's not perfect, but it will
it could potentially put like 90% of all our artists out there out of business. Like,
well, I don't know though.
It's still in the beginning phases, right? Like machine learning by nature gets better over time.
Yeah. And just for the record, like, DALL-E 2 is, if you're familiar with DALL-E in general, not to get like nerdy about it, but DALL-E 2 is light years better. Like, and wow, it's brand really? New. It's brand new. So like there's a subreddit for it. Of people, because only like 1,000 people have access to it, but it's very good. It's like,
I was gonna say, how do I use it? I was gonna go onto it and ask for a picture of Jackson Clark from the official podcast and see what comes up.
But I don't know if it'll put artists out of business or not. Like, will people learn? Maybe, like, is it possible? Some, that
for sure, dude. Like, imagine digital artists, maybe, or, like. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you're a game studio or something, you need concept art. Like, it will be so much easier to just pay $50 for the DALL-E API than hiring a dude to draw stuff anymore, you know?
I feel like you get more of a personal touch from, like, hiring that person. You can make it's probably easier to communicate with that person and make changes than it is to, keep rolling the dice on the AI.
Kit, you were not kidding about DALL-E 2 being better. I'm checking out their like little promotional website, and this thing is incredible. Yeah, oh my god!
Yeah,
DALL-E 2.
So yeah, I think there's going to be more and more AI projects like this coming out that are both equally amazing, and you just want. So I'm a big Battlestar Galactica fan, and if you've seen that or know of it, the whole hashtag, it's not a spoiler, the whole premise of the show is we created AI machines to help us, and then the machines learned the best way to help humans is to destroy all humans, like to kill us because we're our own problem. So admittedly, when I think of AI in the back of my mind, I'm thinking Battlestar Galactica, but yeah, we'll see.
Maybe that the AI solution to that question of how to best help humans will be to make love with us, and then they'll develop high tech form sex bots. Finally, we're getting there. They don't
that's
look
what
like...
you're hoping for.
Well, if the inverse is us dying, then yeah, I'm hoping for the sex bot future.
Okay, yeah. It reminds me of the like Death by Snoo Snoo Futurama stuff for some reason.
Yeah. We've always talked about how, like, pornography is the leading innovator in technology. Like, it's what drives technology forward. So I do think that AI won't get good until there is an on-the-market sex bot of some variety.
There probably is.
I think the first thing is going to be, they'll have, like, deepfake your favorite celebrity into porn or your Facebook crush or whatever. I'm sure that's going to be a genre.
Mm. I know there already are some like really high profile people who get targeted by deep faked porn stuff. Like they'll say, we're going to post this video if you don't, you know, comply with our demands. But it's it's like taking an already made video, but then deep faking their face onto it. But it looks like some of the deep fake stuff out there. Have you seen, deepfake Tom Cruise yet?
Yes, that's really good on TikTok. Yeah. It's so convincing.
Right. And the idea is, although I've met that studio and they're trying really hard to be very ethical in their approach, but you can imagine people who aren't ethical could use similar technology to post a picture. Well, although, yeah, like they could deep fake an entire episode of the podcast, but it's a different sponsor.
Finally, we'd never have to work again.
Oh,
that'd be perfect. Let's get there.
What should get deep faked and it's like 10,000 times better as well? They're just more funny and more charismatic.
Oh, and they look handsomer on webcam too.
Yeah.
I was joking about doing a deep fake, TikTok react channel just to see what would happen, like just to see if people would not notice and still like the content, but I haven't gotten around to doing it yet.
There's so many interesting applications for this kind of stuff, and you're right, it is a scary future, possibly. I don't really... I don't like thinking about it too much, so I'm glad you're on the front lines, Kit, designing that robot for us. But just make sure you code in that I am a friend.
Yes.
Jackson gets to have sex with it.
I'll make it first dibs. They'll just be like first dibs on the sex bot application.
An if-else statement that, like, if you decide sex is good, then hit up this guy first.
Right.
I'll bake it into the...
and use an Indian scam accent to talk to me.
Oh, jeez.
It's the only way I can get there. Alrighty, I think we got to wrap, though. I think, Charlie, you've got a thing on, right?
Yeah, I have to head out.
Okay.
Me too. I have a lot of really important things to do.
Yeah, like robots and stuff.
He's got an old woman who's waiting on hold right now, and she just bought the cards.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
Thank you. Yeah, no, thank you for joining us. Yeah. It was a pleasure. Absolutely.
Thank
pleasure.
You so can much, you, Kit. We all love your stuff.
Shout out your stuff, like Twitch and your YouTube and stuff like that, so people can go find you.
Oh, yeah. Just go into Google and type in the official podcast. And
Yeah. Perfect. No. It's an infinite loop. They'll just keep going back. Yeah, they'll watch this episode. They'll get to the end and then back to the start. Yeah.
Highest viewed episode due to recursion.
Oh, yes. Just watch this episode. What episode number is it? Just watch this episode over and over. 286. Kit Boga will, you'll find most things.
Yeah,
you search for it.
It's Twitch. You do a lot of mostly streams, right, as well? Like, you stream everything?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's twitch.tv/KitBoga, KitBoga. Go check him out. Watch his stuff. He's great. It's great. It's reward people doing good things like this, like wasting scammers' time, because they're the only thing standing in between
us and nuclear warfare.
Indian scammers and your grandmother. So go defend your grandmother by watching.
I tried really hard to convince Twitch to let me do a promotion where subscribing would be half off if they used a Google Play card or like an Amazon card.
Oh, that's so cool.
I love
that. They wouldn't let me do it. I was like, I'll eat the cost. I don't care. I just think it'd be funny. But
yeah, that would be great. Damn you, Twitch, running everything. Now you're gonna have to move over to YouTube. No, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah,
and thank you to everyone who listened. Patreon.com/theofficialpodcast if you want to support us and make the official podcast a reality. Because this has all been hypothetical so far for 286 episodes.
We promise.
Yeah. Make sure you use your accurate information on the Patreon. Nothing bad will happen. We have bonus episodes. We've got Kai and I just finished watching the Halo TV series, so those final two watch along episodes will be up over the next 2 weeks. The things we do for you, and that's everything. Thank you to my co-hosts, and thank you again